USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
I'm not looking for credit, but what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars, have people say, like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze.
Donald Trump is lashing out at some media for their coverage of his donations to veterans groups. During a news conference today, Trump singling out ABC News reporter Tom Lamas, who then asked the likely GOP presidential nominee, quote, why am I a sleaze?
When I raise money, excuse me, I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty.
Trump says he raised close to $6 million back in January at a veterans benefit, and Trump insists that all the money has been sent out to veterans groups across the U.S. Trump called the media dishonest, unfair, and says he has never received such bad publicity for raising money for vets. This is USA Radio News.
For me, it was the big S class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow-drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The debate goes on over the death of a zoo gorilla who threatened a toddler over the weekend. USA Radio's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
What they had to do had to be done.
That's famed animal expert Jack Hanna weighing in to the debate over the killing of a gorilla at the Cincinnati Zoo on Saturday. Authorities shooting the 400-pound gorilla to protect a 4-year-old boy who'd fallen into the enclosure. Hanna says the zoo did the right thing.
These animals, these field silverback males, the power they have, they can take a green coconut and squish it like a marshmallow. The animal's power is beyond belief.
But thousands have signed a Change.org petition condemning the killing and demanding that the boy's parents be held accountable for not watching their child closer. PETA is criticizing action as well, noting it wouldn't have happened if gorillas weren't being held at zoos. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
I'm Sean Hayer, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is asking for a legal opinion from the state over a school district policy on transgender students. Patrick says today he believes the Fort Worth ISD is breaking the state education code by making its policy without having a school board vote on it. He wants the state attorney general to say whether the law is being broken. Patrick is also calling for the firing of school superintendent Dr. Kent Scribner for the directive. Scribner told the schools to allow transgender students to access the bathrooms of their gender identity. Premiums for Obamacare that increased in 2016 have been estimated to jump dramatically again next year, and some of those increases could be 44% higher. USA Radio's John Clemens.
Residents of Vermont could be hit with increases by as much as 44% higher in 2017, and that's on top of the jump in prices paid this year. Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas tells us under Obamacare's mid-level so-called silver plan, the average increase across the nation will be 16%.
Fewer people enrolled, higher health care costs, and other reasons are adding up, and fewer Americans have choices and affordable plans they can count on.
Americans under Obamacare should watch for the changes that could vary widely by region and by type of plan. I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Hi, this is Joe Peters, and I'm here with our 55 Plus show. We're going to get started in 2 or 3 minutes, but before we do, I'd like to play a few of our paid commercials, and we'll be right back to you.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the central...
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm back with my 55 Plus show today. We're going to be talking about gray divorce. If you don't know what that means, you will by the time 45 minutes goes by. Before we get started, we're going to talk a little about the weather. Right now, it says 81. It was 88 on my car thermometer. It really feels hot out there, but it's about the worst it's going to be all week because we're going to have some clouds and rain come in. It's going to be 74 tomorrow, 71 the day after, back to the 80s on Saturday. Short week. It's sort of one of those, we lost track that Monday was yesterday already. And then it's supposed to rain all day Sunday and all day Monday. So I guess we need to rain, but whatever. Let's get it over with and let's get started with summer. So once again, Joe Peters here, and I'm sitting with two people that I have met with the Warren Chamber of Commerce. We're doing Hunterdon Chamber Radio. One is Jody D'Agostino. And Jody, say hello.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me today.
Great. She's a senior partner with the Falcon Financial Group, which is a division of AXA. And with her is Tanya McAusland. Say hello.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great. I'm glad you guys both could make it. Why don't we start by giving the listeners a little bit about our background. Jody, we'll start with you.
Okay. I'm a certified financial planner and a certified divorce financial analyst. I help people realize their financial goals. Financial planning is a process that we take people through to help them see fit into their financial future. I enjoy this area of work. One of the areas I concentrate in, we're going to be talking about today, is divorce financial planning, a relatively new area that I've been concentrating in and helping people make proper financial decisions when they're coming out of divorce so that they see a good future.
So what kind of education and certification do you need to do this type of work?
Well, as certified financial planner, you go to school for investments, insurance, estate planning, retirement planning, taxation. So it's a very global, comprehensive look at finances. It's goals-based, looking at what the client needs. We're true fiduciaries, which means we put the client's interest first. But the degree as a certified divorce financial analyst, we go to school and we take a three-part test. And it's all the information relative to divorce, so that we're looking at the financial and tax implication of decisions that need to be made, assets that need to be kept, what you know the nature is, what they can do for you, how, you know, retiring debt, looking at whether you should keep the house, if not, what housing would be proper for you going forward. So it's really helping you make the decisions at a pretty emotional time, and you know, kind of being your left brain in a very right brain period.
Wow, very well put. And Tanya, a little about yourself.
Sure. I've been in the financial planning industry for nearly 20 years, working and starting my career with institutions, but now over the last 5 years working with individuals and families, and now with divorce analysis, and just kind of creating budgets and understanding the nuances of planning ahead and sticking to a budget and trying to build and protect and grow your wealth, because with wealth comes freedom for you to do many things. With the CDFA or financial analysis for divorce planning, it does take certain nuances and specifics to really understanding and to provide customization during the financial process during a very emotional and divorce time for individuals. So we work well together, Jody and I, and again, for gray divorces, there are even more nuances to understand.
Wow. So both of you are based in Morristown, but you're not restricted to one geographical area. You do the whole north central part of New Jersey, I take
yes,
it.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So we're going to give the folks' phone numbers to call as we go on, but let me just start by saying my business is based in real estate across Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I do residential real estate. But a lot of times I bump into this in doing that. I mean, I've been through a divorce. Nobody ever gets married thinking they're going to get divorced, but life happens. And when it happens, there's a lot of decisions to be made. And I know with the 55 Plus program, we talk about people who have sort of got the 55 marker in the rear view and pulling up on 65, maybe even 70, it's time to talk about things that we've already gone through that might help you make some decisions along the way. This is sort of a new territory for us, but very interesting because a lot of people are making this type of a decision. Talk about gray divorce and how long that term has been around.
It's a pretty recent phenomenon, but I would say as you take it as a percentage of divorces, it's much higher than the normal divorce in the 50-plus. I think a lot of it has to do with we're living longer.
Right.
So, you know, if you were going to retire at 65 and you were dead by 70, you might stick it out.
Yeah.
But if you're going to live now to 85 or 90, it may not work anymore in your plans.
Right.
So there are a couple of phenomenons. You know, often it's after the death of the parents. You know, so they were saying, hey, if my parents are dying, it was, you know, a stigma to divorce. So they would, you know, probably stay in it. But their health may be declining, or they just had a health challenge and they came out of it and they thought, hey, I got a new lease on life. I want to move forward in it. Or they've grown apart. You know, the kids are leaving and, you know, empty nest, and they're feeling that they have no commonality going forward. They want to say, hey, I'm going to break out. Or, you know, with our new world that we have, you know, rediscovering sexuality and saying, hey, I can kind of have that part of my life back again.
Interesting.
So there are many reasons for gray divorces being on the rise, and also the phenomenon that baby boomers are, you know, that we kind of cut across many lines and we were the pioneers in many areas, I being a boomer. So, you know, they try things out that has never been done before. So, again, gray divorces is much on the rise.
Well, I know the person that I knew was getting divorced at 77, and we said, why? And she said, I've just decided I didn't want to go any further in this relationship. And I thought that was so astute, but you still said to yourself, really? but I can understand it because I found out why it happened afterwards, and it was sort of like the last straw at a legal proceeding, and she decided to get divorced and went through it, and he's still sitting there saying why. And I think it happens a lot of times that one side has grown and the other hasn't, or at mm-hmm. least at this point in their life that it has. Because I think that's where a lot of divorces come from, is that, first of all, it's probably not a great match to start with. But secondly, it's stuck it out, the kids are gone, and now it's one side has grown, the other hasn't. Or am I incorrect? What do you think?
No, I would quite agree with you. I think a lot of it's they've grown apart. Yeah. Maybe they've both grown, but they've grown in different directions, too.
Right.
They want different things. One wants to retire to Florida. The other one doesn't want to leave the kids. And so, you know, that becomes a bone of contention. And so if they want different things, the ability to get there, especially if they have the means, they're gonna go out on their own.
So are most in the grays amicable divorces, or are they – they're both smiling.
I wouldn't necessarily say so, because I think there's a great fear factor, too.
Okay.
There are health challenges, or you're feeling more vulnerable at that age. You know, it's one person maybe more so. In fact, that may have actually prompted the divorce. One person's starting to see either a mental failing in the other person or some physical failing in that other person and thinking, I'm going to separate myself from that. So there's great fear in what's going to happen. I'm going to be on my own now. I thought I had somebody that could take care of me, but I always wondered, you know, how's an 85-year-old pick up an 85-year-old? That doesn't always work either. But
well,
I think
that's funny.
That fear is there. And then the financial fear, because you don't have the ability to go out necessarily and earn an income, or the kind of income that you would have had when you were supporting a divorce at an earlier age. So the self-determination of your financial future is, you know, much more challenging.
So you're saying that people are actually fearful that the other side isn't going to be able to take care of them, or is it that they're going to have to take care of the other side, driving the divorce factor?
I think taking care – often I think the person that's initiating is worried about taking care of them. I mean,
somebody.
One of the things we have to do, Tanya and I, is screen for mental faculty. There's a lot of, I think, pre-dementia coming out, and one person's starting to see that other person fail and thinking, I'm to get out before I, you know,
Isn't
have to put up with this going forward, or some other, you know, health challenge that they're seeing is could be, you know, an encumbrance, you know, to the life that they want to lead going forward.
So for better and for worse doesn't really last as long as we thought it would. That's interesting. I did not know that. We went recently to an Alzheimer's clinic, and both being seniors, as I say, you know, 10 years ago I couldn't spell senior, now I are one. We were amazed by the 70 people that were in the group, and we learned a lot about dementia and into Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. But probably 50 of them were chained to a loved one and were going through stories. And we walked away just feeling so, wow, what those people are going through. It's a huge commitment.
Well, the financial commitment is huge. I think they estimate, you know, assisted living in New Jersey at about $60,000 to $80,000 a year. That's the Genworth study.
Wow.
And if you were going to be in a nursing home, it's $100,000 to $120,000 a year to take care of somebody. You know, nursing care is $24 to $26 an hour. So you might have had enough resources to take care of yourself and stay in your home. But now when you add on that challenge of all those additional medical bills, all of a sudden you're saying, wow, how's this going to happen? And I think that often that becomes a decision when one party's starting to add it up and say, listen, I'm physically okay. I may need to separate and move on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I talked to my attorney about this very factor, and he said to me a lot of people get divorced in their early 70s just to split the financial empire.
Yes.
So that if one gets sick, it doesn't drain both sides.
Preserve the assets, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And is that still commonplace?
I think it is,
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not only an emotional divorce, but sometimes it's a very strategic divorce.
Yes.
To say that we'll protect half the assets. And
right.
Wow, wow, wow. So you've got a whole list of things. I'm looking across. She has enough to talk about till the cows come home tonight. So why don't you pick the first subject and let's get started on it.
Okay. I think one of the things, you know, we were just alluding to is the impact of health issues.
Right.
Going forward, not only whether you have health issues, but providing for it. So if you divorce, you know, let's say late 50s, you don't get onto Medicare until you're 65. So let's say one person is working, the other one was a supported spouse. What are they going to do to bridge the gap to Medicare?
Mm-hmm.
And that price tag can be hugely high. and needs to be factored in, especially if they do have some health challenges. So I think that that is one area that is we help them with. Big aspect of financial planning is starting with the budget. You know, we can't tell you how you're going to be until we know what you're living like. You know, some people live modestly, some people spend a lot. And then we kind of marry that to what do they have as far as their assets and their liabilities and say, okay, based on how these we think they're going to be broken up, do you have enough going forward? There's also, interestingly enough, we found there's a big role of adult children in gray divorces, okay? So everybody says, oh, once the kids are grown, they're not going to care. Well, they do care.
Right.
They care in many ways. It's sometimes as painful, if not more. And they can become stealth advisors to one parent or the other.
Okay.
And so sometimes they align with one side or the other, and they can really hurt a divorce, you know, and make it less amicable, if you want to say.
Right.
There's issues of estate planning. You know, you may have already set up trusts. Your wills were already taken care of. And you've got to take a look at that and see where that's going in a gray divorce. You know, you're going to have to redo things, maybe some good work that was already set up and may not be able to be broken and reestablished.
Right. So when a divorce like this happens, a gray divorce, as we're calling, I'm putting little quotes around gray divorce, who's the first person to contact you? Is it usually through an attorney or is it?
We get referrals a lot from family law attorneys.
Okay.
And sometimes estate and trust attorneys as well. But often people are finding Tanya and myself on the internet. And they're doing some, exploring out there. And the CDFA degree is relatively new. It was talked about in the Wall Street Journal in 2007, that sort of the breakout for the degree. But I think people are starting to realize that, you know, there's three big aspects to divorce. There's the, you know, legal aspect. Tanya and I stay away from that. We defer to the attorneys on that. There's the emotional aspect. We defer to, you know, a good therapist for that to take care of that and make sure that they move on in a positive way. But the financial is often the biggest encumbrance to moving forward. Is there the fear of, you know, living in the back seat of the car or being a bag person and worrying about what that's going to be. And that's our sweet spot. That's what we like to work in.
So neat. So CDFA is Certified Divorce Financial
Analyst.
Okay. And that is the accreditation that both of you have on top of all of your financial planning background that you've accumulated. For people that are listening and would like to talk to one of these two ladies, Jody, why don't you give us, first of all, it's the Falcon Financial Group. Why don't you give us your, I think better than email, maybe phone number at this point.
Okay. Last name's tough. 973-401-2513 is my direct line.
Okay. And Tanya, your direct line?
Sure, 973-401-2365. We actually are housed in the same location at 10 Madison Avenue in Morristown.
In Morristown. But once again, they're not locked at a geographical. They're doing anywhere this radio is hitting, we can help you. It doesn't even have to be in the state of New Jersey, but we're pretty much in the general area of North and Central New Jersey. And my name's once again is Joe Peters. I'm with Weichert, and I do residential real estate. I'll play my commercial a little later on so you know what I'm all about. But this is part of our giving back. We do 55-plus radio twice a month. This month happened to have three Tuesdays in it, so you got it three times, and this is the third time. So when somebody comes to you, it sounds to me like some legal effect has been started, probably some counseling has been started. Now they need to understand financial. Now, is it typically the wife or the husband, or does it matter? Or both?
You know, it could be both, absolutely. But again, this is a gaining or a growing niche. But historically, it's certainly been more women.
Okay.
Working with a CDFA, you know, historically, she's always just been given the settlement and certainly just been able to live with it. But now, just with the more exposure and just with more education now and providing this additional financial analysis, you know, she can certainly be more involved in the process and in the settlement process. We certainly work closely with the attorney.
Right.
And we always defer to the attorney for the legal advice and counsel. But we certainly project out for many years the financial ramifications of settlement and just arming those people with the knowledge.
The knowledge of what's available to them and what things cost and what the considerations are, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Very eye-opening from the healthcare viewpoint.
And the real challenge is because you may have saved money for 30, 35 years, but since we live long and longevity is the biggest challenge in retirement planning, the fact that we live, you know, the largest segment growth is in the centurions. So if we're looking to model things out to 90, 95, you may be retired for almost as long as you've worked. That's so now you've got to make those assets, you know, work that much longer, and that's a challenge that many financial planners don't have in their sweet spot. You got to look at it not only accumulation but decumulation, if you want to say, of your assets and how most efficiently and tax affected you can spend those down to make them last, in case you do, till 100.
I've gotten very involved with the Hunter County Aging Process Network, and there's got to be a half a dozen people that you can talk to within Hunter County. But the thing that startled me the most is that in Hunterdon County, our fastest growing age cohort, that means age group, is 75 to 85 right now.
I believe
that's
it.
Amazing.
Yes.
That's, and it's just what you said. People are living longer, and 85 is not that old anymore if you're healthy.
Right.
So it's, you know, you start to question after 85 how healthy is it and whatever. But my parents died mid-70s, mid-80s. And if it was a generation later, it's probably going to be more like mid-80s, mid-90s. Looking at the same thing. So the fact that you could almost be retired longer than you worked is an interesting thing. I've never heard that said before.
Yeah.
I think people need information. And
yes.
Then when you get into the divorce, it's okay, one's going to one corner of one attorney, one's going to the other. If you can get to people like Tanya and Jody and understand and just get that conversation starting, it's very, very beneficial to you to start thinking about the things that may not have been presented to you. I know when I'm on, not my second marriage, but I'm divorced, and my Marilyn is with me 26 years, we just never got married. Okay, second time around, it's not that important and didn't happen. And if ain't broke, why fix it after 26 years? We're almost afraid to even think about it. But when she got divorced, her ex went and did things with the attorney and she just signed off on it. She was ignorant to the fact that she was getting screwed, for the better term, of looking for some of her. But that doesn't have to happen.
No.
Here, there's a lot of things, and the more the assets and the more the ownership of things besides assets, there's children involved, there's summer houses, there's friends, there's a lot that goes on in this. You need that kind of advice.
Well, there's often an emotional or power imbalance in any marriage. You know, in certain areas we excel in certain others. And I think that's part of a partnership. You defer certain things to one party or the other. You take out the garbage, I empty the dishwasher, whatever it is, but it goes right into finances. So generally one person has eyes on the finance and the other person probably didn't do the finances. And then all of a sudden gets in a situation where they have to make financial decisions and they're not even sure what they own and what, you know, what those can do for them. And that's where Tanya and I come in, you know, for that kind of enabling people and empowering people to be able to make those decisions, because we're taking a look at it with a much more comprehensive look.
Good. Good, good, good. I mean, it's a lot to think about. I'm thinking as we're talking, and there's a little smoke going up here, so hopefully we don't set the smoke alarms off. I think let's go to commercial for about 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Weikert with our 55 Plus show, and sitting here today with me is Jody D'Agostino and Tanya McAuslin. And I'm sure I'm not getting their names exactly correct, but pretty close. We started talking about statistics a little bit while we were off the air, and I'm going to ask Jody to sort of get into some of the statistics, and then we're going to talk both about medical side and the home ownership side of gray divorce.
Okay, so the United States has the most in and out coupling of any country. They tend to remarry statistically and then divorce again. So about two-thirds of women and 75% of men that are divorced remarry. They're also much less willing to stay in an unhappy marriage. And the divorce rate is actually 60% or higher. It hovers around 50% for first-term marriages. And two in particular divorce more frequently than the others, and those are people that marry quickly within 1 to 2 years of the divorce, and those that have the means to do so. I mean, think the Hollywood divorce, how often it goes there. Well, they have the means to be able to do so they get out. The other thing I think that's pretty interesting is the U.S. Vital Statistics did a survey, and in 1990, there were only about a little over 200,000 gray divorces, and by that I mean people 50-plus. And the projection is that by 2030, it will be four times that, over 800,000. So it's really rapidly rising. And again, I think there are many contributing factors, but the lack of common purpose, the kids leaving the house, maybe some health issues, and the ability to do so, reestablishing your sexuality and just looking around and thinking, hey, I've got, maybe 20 more years in me. I think it may be time for me to move on. And, also the social norms are different, so there's no stigma in divorce anymore, or very limited stigma, and I think people are aware of that. And, they're moving forward. But again, I said there are many challenges that need to be considered, and I think financial being the biggest one.
Right.
You've got two houses to support, and in New Jersey, that's a very big challenge. As you know, John,
very
you're in real estate.
State.
We're very expensive to support a house with the taxes that we have here in New Jersey. So maybe, Tanya, you want to talk a little bit about housing?
Yeah, before we move on to Tanya, I had one question about what you said, though. You said the two were quicker marriages.
Yes.
And the other was more assets and
yes.
easier to. So let's talk about the quicker side. You said with meeting and marrying within a year or two?
Yes, that's sort of the old rebound.
Okay.
So, this guy's got to be better than my guy. Anybody might be at that point,
okay.
So they're just picking the next best thing and then realizing we really have no commonality or,
right.
common purpose. There may be blended families that are not quite blending well, adult
yep.
kids that aren't really getting along. And sometimes, I alluded to this earlier, adult kids are actually worried about their, their
That's
inheritance.
Right. Yeah, right.
So they're thinking, I don't want my dad to marry this woman that maybe, she's got kids. Where is my inheritance? It's walking out the door with her.
Wow.
So sometimes they get involved in it for those reasons as well.
So if you're going to get remarried, make it at least 3 years. The statistics are better, it sounds like.
Joe, you're a quick study.
Yeah. I know. Having gone through it, we were married very young, and we got divorced in the 40s, both in our 40s, and it was like eye-opening. It
mm-hmm.
was like back on a dating scene. We never really on a dating scene to start with. We were high school
right.
sweethearts kind of thing. So.
Well, you're bringing up a really big one that I actually forgot, social media. People are reconnecting on Facebook.
Right.
You don't even need to go to a reunion anymore. You get reunited every night on your Facebook. So people are finding people that they were love interests from way back.
A woman in my office that's over 80 years old, and a guy found her from high school and asked her out.
You got to love it.
I got to love it. And these people are so feisty. I remember she lived in Florida, in a town in Florida, and I had a guy in my office that was looking to relocate from that. So I introduced the two, and he says, well, why don't we have coffee sometime? And she looked him straight in the eye and said, are you asking me out? At 80-plus years old. And he said, yeah, I guess I am. She said, got any money? And he said, does it matter? She said, my age, I ain't got time to screw around. It was the funniest conversation. It happened
good.
At about 12, front of 12 people.
Yeah.
But I understand where
a
you're
coming
from.
A lot of the over 65, though, I feel, and I have several clients that are in senior facilities,
right.
don't want to remarry because they're worried about losing that, you know, social security. And so they're, you know, they're so worried about that they're worried about losing their good payments.
We had a whole show on just what to do with Social Security.
Yes.
And we actually had a guy from the Somerset Chamber come over and talk about a whole different subject matter. If you guys want to learn more about Social Security when you're in your 60s, go to my jpeters.com, and there's a 55-plus replay show there, and you can listen to about it.
On Social Security.
But also giving up the Social Security benefit
exactly.
if you do decide to remarry. So it is a
right?
long-term proposition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can be costly.
Yes.
That is, there's so much to consider here.
Yes.
It's almost like, maybe we should stay married.
Yeah.
No, that's worse. You look one way, it's bad. The other way is worse.
And the biggest emotional attachment is the marital home.
Right.
You know, it's oftentimes the wife wants to stay, and especially for younger couples, they want to continue to raise their family in that marital home. But it could certainly be a financial detriment over the long term because it could be quite expensive to stay in the home. The transfer of the title between you both is not taxable, but the tax basis may cause you to pay taxes upon the sale if the gain is greater than $250,000. You do, as a couple, get a deduction of $500,000
right.
as a couple here in New Jersey. So certainly with the divorce analysis, you certainly want to reconsider keeping the home and potentially going into something much more economic.
And sometimes it's almost the time to sell a home anyway by the time this is happening. I mean, you're at what we witness through real estate is first-time buyer trade up a couple of times and then maybe a right size, and a right size gets into aging in place and the senior saying, I need to get into a ranch. I'm in the right town. I'm in the wrong house kind of thing. And that's also right sizing. So it's almost time to do that anyway. And this starts to happen. And now, well, the whole game has changed because you need not a home for two anymore, but a home for one. And maybe the one won't be forever. So you don't want to. There's lots to consider.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe talk about retirement plans and pension plans too.
Yes.
In the
analysis. So, you know, at the time of divorce, you know, they're going to look at, you know, what you've accumulated during the marital time of the marriage. And then usually those assets are divided. Typically they start at a half and everything is negotiable.
Right.
But you got to take a look at and make sure that assets that seem to be the same are actually the same. We were just talking about a house, and let's say you had a house that was worth $500,000 and you've got a non-retirement account versus worth $500,000, well, you can't pay bills with a house, so there's no
right.
liquidity there. So even though you have assets that appear to be the same, that you've got to see what those assets can do for you going forward. So we have to look at the whole picture. How much income are you going to need to generate? We were talking about the break that there's limited alimony. When you're divorcing later in life, everybody's allowed to retire, and the courts see the same. So if somebody's going to retire, and usually the threshold is the Social Security retirement age, if they choose to retire at that age, you know, alimony can terminate. And so then what are you going to do? Now you're relying upon Social Security and your assets. So you got to take a look at that. And, you know, it may not be such a great idea to keep the home and let go of the retirement accounts that could be, you know, precious in just a few years from then. Because there's limited ability to replace those at that point, you know, unless you've got a fantastic job, you're not going to add to that retirement in a large way, you know, if you're 55 plus.
Right.
You know.
So do you see people working longer today,
yes,
too?
And absolutely.
That makes it complicated,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
I don't either.
Okay, so I think staying in the game and having purpose in life,
yep,
is very important. I see people stepping back and maybe not working, you know, a full-time job, but I see particularly baby boomers, you know, these people that got out and did everything ahead of it, they've got a lot of energy still. They're the ones doing the triathlons and marathons and all this. They're staying engaged, and many times by choice. You know, they're saying, hey, I enjoy my job, especially if you've got something you're enjoying doing, or you always wanted to do something else. Maybe you wanted to do a bed and breakfast. It's a good time to kind of reinvent yourself at that age. So, yes, I see people working longer for sure.
What is – I mean, it used to be everybody retired at 65. Now I think the age is already up to 68, depending
for
how –
Social Security. Yeah, it's up to 67.
67. Mm-hmm. Is there a typical age you're seeing as retirement, or is there no such thing as typical?
Well, I go to Wharton for a retirement degree, and what they're saying is the average you know, people think they're going to work till 65, 66, and we usually kind of model that out just to see if they can.
Yep.
But the average, actually typical, is 59 or 60, and the reason being that they're either terminated by a corp company or they have some health challenges, or somebody in their family has a health challenge and they have to go home and take care of the aging parents. So even though you think you may be in the game till 65, sometimes that's not within your control. And again, there goes that sort of second career or third career or whatever it is, where it may not be that you've got the full earning potential you had before, but you're making something and you're back out there.
So in a good portion of the cases, it's happening quicker than they expect, not later than they expect.
Yes.
That's interesting. I thought the answer was going to come the other way. Because I know I'm beyond the retirement age. I'm still going 100%. And eventually it'll take its toll. I mean, it can't go on forever. We're all going to go the same way out, came in the same way, going out the same way, as I said. But I see more and more people doing this, and I thought the answer would be, more and more people are working into their 70s. But I also see, because I meet them at the leads groups that I belong to, people doing financial planning. As soon as somebody says financial planning, I say to myself, sounds like he's out of work. And then we.
Well, I hope you don't say that about us.
No, well, we don't, because we've learned to search for the degrees and the certifications that you need to be a certified financial planner. But another one that I see is it's sort of like a red flag is, oh, I'm a personal coach. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, personal coaches sound good, but – and I have nothing against them. I think they do a lot. I thought Zig Ziglar was one of the best around. Mm-hmm. But when I meet people and say they're personal coach, I really wonder if they're just in between things or not. So I am seeing more and more people meet retirement age quicker than they expected to. But – if you meet it quick enough, you can do one of two things. If you've been successful at putting away assets, you can retire early or go into something that you always love, become the golf pro, not make a lot of money, but do it.
Right.
But I'm also meeting a lot of people from the other direction that are saying, I didn't put enough water chestnuts away, and I'm going to have to work a few more years. Or as the commercial said, my 401k is now a 201k, and it's just a tough time.
That's why I think financial planning is so beautiful because, you know, when people come to us, we actually use financial planning software and model this out to see whether it's the right time to retire and or if you have to make an income.
Right.
This is kind of what you need to get to bridge the gap to when you really could fully retire and then provide for things like pricing in upside medical charges in retirement. So we kind of take a look at the holistic view of things and say, oh, these are your assets, this is what you have, and are you there yet? And then if not, we're going to nudge you to say, hey, I'd stay working for another 3 years, save this much money or whatever. Give them a solution to it.
As well as stay as objective as possible, because the numbers are the numbers.
Right.
So, right.
You know, if the data inputted in the numbers is incorrect, then that's a different story. But nonetheless, typically you do lean on the side of staying in the game, staying in the course. Because unfortunately, we've learned that investors oftentimes make the wrong decisions at the very wrong times, too.
Yes.
So that's how come that 401k became the 201k.
The 201k, Or are you afraid to open your statement every month? It's like, fortunately, we're on the incline, and I don't see those commercials anymore. That's a good sign, I think.
Yes.
We're bouncing back a little. But once again, we're talking with Jody D'Agostino. Jody, say your last name so it's...
D'Agostini.
D'Agostini, okay.
Yes.
And your phone number, if somebody would like to talk to you?
973-401-2513.
And Tanya McAusland. Am I getting that right? Or?
You are, Joe.
Okay.
973-401-2365.
And both are with AXA Division, the Falcon Financial Group, which is a division of AXA. Talk about AXA for that 30 seconds. That is a financial planning company in general.
It's a very large financial services company. You want to handle
it's a very large global French company. We provide access across investment insurance platforms. And again, it is a takes a holistic approach to financial planning for individuals, companies, and businesses. So we do run the full gamut, but we'd love to talk to you about your specific situations.
Great. And we'll give the numbers one more time before we quit. So we talked about the house. We talked a little about health care. Maybe that's a subject we should go a little more deeper into.
Absolutely. Because that's the biggest, I think, challenge for anybody in retirement is how do you price out medical? So normal inflation is about 3%. I'd argue that medical inflation is at least 5%, the way costs have been going up for it. And they say as a percentage of your budget, particularly later in retirement, it's about 15% of most people's budget later in retirement.
Wow.
Is the medical cost. So pricing it effectively is very important. Obviously, Medicare steps in. You got Part A and Part B. If you want, you can choose the prescription plan, Part D. But you're usually going to have something, since there's obviously a big donut hole there, to supplemental care that's provided. So we start with that. As you probably know, Medicare is now tiered based on what your income is in retirement. So that's another financial planning tool that we like to use, is to try to stay below the threshold of the next price up so that you're not paying that upcharge in Medicare. And there are five different prices, and those price points are going up through 2018, and I suspect beyond that, because they're going to make it means tested, and you're going to pay more if you earn more in retirement. So kind of knowing where those break points are and trying to stay below them is a good way to be.
Okay.
But healthcare is not something to be taken lightly. As I said, if it's 15% of your budget and you don't even know what it's going to be priced in at, it's a really good thing to take a look at. Tanya and I do that when we're doing the budgeting process, is try to take a look at where you are now, how far you are till retirement, and price that in for you. Another big challenge is long-term care. Do you have long-term care insurance? In fact, this may be the time to purchase it. You actually get a couple's discount, might be the best thing you do for each other before you retire, is take a look at long-term care and say, hey, it may be a time for us to consider this.
Put somebody assets into that.
Yeah, because long-term care, as I alluded to earlier, is very expensive. And especially now that you're on your own, you're going to have to pay for somebody probably to take care of you, because generally speaking, your adult kids, they have lives and jobs and responsibilities, and it's often, not available. They're not available to take care of you. So knowing what the potential costs of long-term care might be and or, financing part of it, you don't need to finance the whole part of it, but, getting some of it may make sense.
So I came to a very interesting revelation over the last year, thinking that most people go into nursing facilities and that's long-term care. But long-term care is not that typically. Wow. Only 6 or 7% of Hunterdon County residents go into nursing facilities. Right. And unfortunately, that's the start of a long story that doesn't end very happily. But the other percent do a retirement in place, and that's also age in place, and that's also long-term care, because you may need facilities to help you as you go through that, and that's an expense as well, because all of this, yes, there is some coverage, but no, there's not a lot of coverage unless you have a separate policy for it.
And modifying your home, as you were saying earlier, to be able to stay in place, is a good one.
I know I had Tom Bay on about two or four shows ago, and his recording's on the 55 Plus channel as well. And he does something called Anita's Angels, which is an aging-in-place facility. And he starts with like a four-hour engagement a week and get to know them, get somebody working with the individual, so as they need more and more help, they're aligned. And as he said, there's a little bit of insurance, but not a lot. And it's an expense, and that needs to be considered as well. So it's not just the nursing home. It's staying in your own home and having people help you. I mean, Hunterdon does some wonderful things. We will call people three times a day and make sure they take their medicine. We'll go visit them one time a week, but we're not going to live with them. And sometimes it's more than just a call or a visit. And that turns into the aging in place process, and that turns into expense. And like most medical expense, it's not inexpensive expense.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Medical care is very costly.
And if it's sometimes cost prohibitive to get a standalone policy, you can certainly add some riders on life insurance policies too.
Okay.
So that's something to consider too.
So we've got about 10 minutes left. What haven't we talked about? There's probably a whole 3.5 pages there left that you feel would be worth talking about in the next 8 or 9 minutes?
Well, I think Tanya's talked about the retirement plans. Okay, so sometimes pensions are probably the most valuable piece of a retirement plan in my mind, because you can't outlive them. Unless the company goes under, you've got something. And there is some backup with that, with the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. So most of those are guaranteed up to a certain point. So pensions are the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
So, I'm looking at trying to get the client to keep those pensions. And a lot of times one person's like, you're not getting my pension. And I'm saying, yeah, you should definitely get the marital portion of your pension.
Yeah,
because,
right.
Again, if you live to 100, it's going to be a very valuable asset because you can't outlive it.
Okay.
So taking a look at what the character of each asset is and why it might be important to you, and that's something we try to help educate them on, and what that can do for you going forward. But pensions are extremely valuable assets. And then, looking at the tax implications of using those assets. You can have, again... I had a client, that had took over an account that was very large, but was only in a few positions of stocks that were highly appreciated. So now, when you need to turn that into income, and cashing them out to create income, it was fully taxable. And if you're at a high tax bracket, for capital gains, you're going to be paying 23.8% plus New Jersey tax on it. That's not inconsequential. So looking at the tax ramifications of using the assets as well is important.
I would think that people, as they get older, pay less taxes because there's less total income in any one given year than when they were both working, or one was working and they was
generally speaking
jointly.
You're right.
So
yes.
But it's still a tremendous, especially if you have to liquidate assets such as a just say a stock. If you sell a stock, it's it's long term, but there's still tax consequence on it.
Yes, and a retirement plans. Remember, Uncle Sam gave you kind of a loan. You were growing something income tax free, for income tax preferred for how many years? Well, they now want their money back, and you're going to pay ordinary income on the entire thing that's coming out. So, again, you have a $500,000 retirement account. You have a $5,000 non-retirement account. They're totally different when you start having to utilize them. And they're going to be taxed all at ordinary income versus only portion of it on capital gains, the growth of it on capital gains in the non-retirement. Something to be looked at.
So what percentage of our population is now in this gray divorce? Maybe that's not an unfair question. What percentage of our population is 65 or older today?
Oh, geez. I think they're saying there's 10,000 people a day,
baby
boomers, turning 65.
Turning 65.
So the potential is high, for more going forward, because as it becomes more suitable for you to do it, you see your friends doing it, it becomes more acceptable, and all of a sudden. So I think the potential, it's quadrupled. In a couple decades.
Right.
So that's statistically significant to begin with.
It's just the beginning of a long story of it getting larger and larger.
But there's big challenges. You know, alimony, people are allowed to retire. Alimony is allowed to end at Social Security retirement age. So, you thought, in an early divorce, yours, for example, at 40, you might have been paying alimony for 20 some odd years, depending upon the length of your marriage. Well, if you're getting married, divorced at 60, you may only be getting alimony for 5 or 6 years. And so that's a big challenge.
Tremendous.
Because now you've got to say, I've got to start either converting my assets to income, and what does that mean?
Yep.
Or I've got to add and supplement to that.
There are so many things to consider. I don't know where you'd start. Sure, that's where your education comes in, is how you put a whole plan together.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we've been talking with Tanya and Jody, and let me let them give you their numbers. Jody, your best contact number is?
973-401-2513.
And Tanya, yours again?
973-401-2365.
So, this is Joe Peters of 55 Plus, and I'm going to play my commercial before we end so you can get my phone number there. We have a few minutes left. What would you like to sort of highlight that we may not have gotten onto yet?
So I think any divorce is very emotional. I think they said it's sometimes more traumatic than a death. It really is the death of a marriage. So your right brain really flares up, and you're not necessarily thinking logically or analytically at a time where you really need to be thinking analytically.
Right.
I think they said the number two reason for bankruptcy in the United States is divorce. And I think part of it is because you're not getting proper counsel about the financial ramifications of decisions you're making. So working with a financial planner going through the process, that can help you looking and be your financial lens on things, I think is very important. Creating your goals. I mean, I like to start with, what do you want? What do you want out of this divorce? I want to keep the marital home. Okay, well, we're going to work towards that goal. If it's not right for you, and we don't think, we're going to try to counsel you otherwise and show you why it might make more sense not to do that. But creating what you think your, you know, ideal life is going to look like later. You know, don't, if you got to move forward, you know, challenges are opportunities. It's
right.
Just how you take them. And even though this is a huge challenge, I think later in life, you know, making a plan right from the start and being able to make sure those assets work for you right away, retiring any debt if you can as quickly as possible. We didn't talk about debt, but debt can be a big part of,
you know,
sometimes it's the reason for the divorce to begin with. Spenders often marry savers.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes that spender has caused some debt and, you know, making a plan together. But as I said, you know, moving forward and knowing what it's going to look like and knowing what you want it to look like and trying to work towards that.
So a plan is it's paramount. Yeah. And Tanya, what would you like to say in closing?
I certainly want to believe that we all marry for love, but certainly, as Jody said, you know, proper planning will be key. And if you think you'll find love the second time around, the divorce rates in second and third marriages are even higher than first marriages as well. So you constantly have to
see your financial planner first.
Yeah,
so
I hear
certainly
you.
Add value to the entire process.
Very, very interesting. It's given us all a lot to think about. I mean, it's almost when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. It's not Jaws. It's Gray Divorce. It rears its ugly head and says, whoa, have you considered this? And there's a lot there that can be considered. So this will be available for replay on my 55 Plus radio channel. That's on my site, jpeters.com. I'm going to play my commercial for real estate so you know who I am and how to get in touch with me. And next week we'll be back Tuesday at 4, and we're going to do a recap of what's happened in the month of May in Hunterdon and Somerset County and talk to you about what the driving factors are for the market conditions that we're seeing. So thank you very much for tuning in. Jody, thank you, and Tanya, thank you for joining us. It's been nice having you, and perhaps we'll have a second session a few months out and go even a little deeper. Okay, Joe Peters signing off.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Okay, and now for the news. I'll see you next week with Real Estate Matters, and we'll talk about the Hunterdon and Somerset scene at that point. Joe Peters signing off.
Radio News with Audrey Strong.
A former attorney general's apparently conflicted about the man who leaked more classified U.S. security documents than anyone in history. Here's USA Radio's Chris Barnes with details.
A year out of office, there's a report that former Attorney General Eric Holder believes NSA leaker Edward Snowden performed a public service. As Holder says, the material Snowden leaked did lead to changes in the government's mass surveillance programs. While still calling what Snowden did inappropriate and illegal, Holder tells CNN's podcast The Axe Files that Snowden may actually deserve reduced jail time, saying his actions were helpful. The Holder is then quick to add Snowden also harmed American interests and put U.S. agents at risk. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. It's basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just